On To The Point, we try to make sense of the policy debates and the political sideshows on the campaign trail.
Neither party's agenda really aligns with who its coalition is today.
It was the dumbest speech I have ever seen in my life of covering politics.
When people walk into a voting booth, at the end of the day, they do say, I really should vote for someone smarter than me.
I'm Warren Altney. To The Point has you covered for the 2016 campaign. Find the To The Point podcast on KCRW's iTunes page. Warren Altney back with Which Way LA. Last month, LA District Attorney Jackie Lacey declined to file charges against a CHP officer captured on video pummeling a mentally ill woman who was on her back alongside the 10 freeway. Activists have criticized her for that decision. Now there's new pressure from an unlikely direction. LAPD Chief Charlie Beck wants Lacey to file charges against one of his own. Officer Clifford Proctor shot an unarmed homeless man in the back, a killing that was also captured on video. Najee Ali is political director for the LA chapter of the Reverend Al Sharpton's National Action Network. Najee Ali, welcome back to our program.
Thanks for having me.
So what do you think the DA should do?
Obviously, we believe DA Jack Lacey should file criminal charges, as Chief Beck has called for. We think it's very important. That way the public can have confidence in the judicial system, because at this point in South L.A., many oftentimes we feel the public judicial system in the criminal justice system does not fare well for us.
Has there been negative reaction to the fact that she did not file charges in the case of the CHP officer and the mentally ill woman on the freeway?
Well, there's been a tremendous amount of public criticism of DA Lacey for not filing criminal charges. And the thing I do know for a fact is that criticism just was not in South L.A. among African Americans. It was held citywide, because I had a chance to visit social media sites and see the various comments against Jack Lacey throughout the city.
Are you aware of anybody that is actually thinking about challenging her in the election this year?
At this point, DA Lacey seems to have no challengers that have come out. But even through back channels, we haven't heard of anyone even discussing running against her.
Does that surprise you? It's a very powerful, very important job.
Well, it doesn't surprise me, because obviously DA Lacey is the incumbent. But obviously we believe she's politically vulnerable. And if someone did choose to run against her, certainly her base of supporters in the African-American community has been eroded tremendously.
Now, the DA did, however, successfully prosecute an LAPD officer just last year, captured on camera, threatening and kicking a woman who died in police custody. Does that speak well for her?
No, it doesn't, because the case you're talking about is Alicia Thomas, the woman who died in police custody. I was the spokesperson for that woman's family, and I know for a fact that even in that case, she dragged her feet, and certainly the DA's office was successful. But the DA who prosecuted the case didn't have the resources he needed to do his job more effectively.
Why do you think that Jackie Lacey did not file charges in the case of the CHP officer?
Well, we can only guess that at the end of the day, the DA's office is very, very dependent on working with law enforcement for all their cases. And obviously, DA Lacey doesn't want to lose the support of law enforcement. So at the end of the day, we kind of feel that she may have given the officer a pass for his beating Ms. Pinnock on the freeway.
Okay, Najee Ali again with the National Action Network. Of course, now we have the LAPD chief asking that she press charges in this case. Lori Levinson is professor of criminal law at Loyola Law School. She's also a former federal prosecutor. Good to have you on our program.
Good to be with you, Warren.
How do you see this, both from a professional standpoint and a political standpoint?
Well, I think that Charlie Beck did the right thing, coming out and saying his evaluation of the case, but it doesn't necessarily bind DA Jackie Lacey, because she has an independent responsibility to evaluate the case and decide whether she can actually bring these criminal charges and, more importantly, win the case. One of the worst things that the prosecutor can do is raise expectations by bringing criminal charges against police officers and then watch a case fall apart in the courtroom. That's going to lose public confidence as well. So I actually think each political official is doing his and her duty. Chief Beck referred the case, Good for him. And Jackie Lacey is reviewing the case. Good for her. And there actually might be another political component down the road, which is if the DAs decide not to go on the case, it's possible that the federal authorities will.
We asked District Attorney Lacey to be on our program. She sent us a statement saying as follows: "It is my ethical obligation to remain impartial until a thorough and independent investigation is completed by my office. Decisions on whether or not to file criminal charges will be based solely on the facts and the law, not on emotion, anger, or external pressure." So, Najee Ali, back to you. It's certainly possible she may decide to prosecute.
Well, that's true. And obviously, at the end of the day, we believe that charges will be filed because we believe that Chief Beck's public recommendation hopefully will be strong enough. But more importantly, there's a videotape that shows Officer Clifford Brockter shooting this man, Brendan Glenn, to death in his back. So we're trying to also get that tape released as well.
So, Laurie Levinson, back to you. The DA has not filed charges in an on-duty officer shooting in about 15 years. On the other hand, there was this prosecution last year for a lesser kind of offense. Is there something about shootings that makes it more difficult to prove the case?
Well, I think so. First of all, you're probably going after the officer for a much more serious charge, possibly even a homicide murder charge. And for those cases, you've got to be ready to prove that beyond a reasonable doubt. And right now, Jackie Lacey has to make a decision of whether there's evidence. We all know from our past that a videotape is not necessarily going to win a case. It is important, but you need to even have more. So she has to evaluate, decide what level of charge if she's going to bring charge. It probably bodes well that that office has been willing to go after police officers, but a shooting is a different kind of case.
Back to Najee Ali. What if, in fact, she were to file charges and then not be able to prove the case? If the evidence isn't persuasive to the jury, there might still be a public outcry. That's happened before in Los Angeles.
Well, it has, but obviously we feel that DA Lacey should at least bring the officer to justice and let the jury decide his guilt or innocence.
So, Laura Levinson, you mentioned the kind of charges that might be brought. What about the other cases around the country that we have seen? And have federal authorities intervened when, in fact, there haven't been prosecutions locally or those prosecutions have failed?
Well, actually, we've seen the federal authorities back off in some of the biggest high-profile cases, whether it be Ferguson or elsewhere, because prosecutors, whether they are the DA or the federal prosecutor, know that they have that responsibility to look at the evidence and not just say, gee, might I persuade a jury? They actually have to believe that they can prove this beyond a reasonable doubt. That is their legal and ethical duty. Now, I do think it's helpful to have people from the community supporting them and saying, you know, if you bring this case, we support you, we will cooperate, we will help you with the evidence. But it's hard to second guess the prosecutors if we don't have access to all the information that they have.
Mr. Ali said a moment ago that the district attorney depends on the police in a number of different ways, of course, in order to make cases in the first place and politically as well. What about Chief Beck, though? He certainly depends on his own officers much more than the district attorney does. Is it then a surprise to you that he took the action that he did? It's the first time he's ever made such a recommendation in a case involving an on-duty fatal shooting.
Oh, this was really bold, and he has taken a lot of heat for it. The police union has gone after him full-fledged. He knows that there are little ways and big ways that police officers can make his life more difficult, his rank and file. But I think he did it in part because he wanted to show that kind of leadership. He follows sort of in the path of our prior chief, Bratton, who has said that he's going to be a police chief to the people, not just to the officers under his command.
The leader of the L.A. Police Protective League was on our program criticizing the chief in the manner that you suggest. He did not say, as he did to the Los Angeles Times, though, that he thought Beck was acting politically. How important is it if he's perceived as acting politically by his own officers?
I actually think that could undermine his ability to command. I think he has a job to persuade his officers, frankly, that it is in their best interests that he go ahead and make these evaluations. Because what it will mean is that if down the road he decides not to refer a case, he will have much more credibility, you know, with the community and others. So, he has to make it clear that he's not pandering to anyone. He's just making the call.
Okay. I should point out, too, that he does have the support of the mayor in this instance. We will see what happens and whether or not it does have political repercussions for the district attorney. Once again, Jackie Lacey is running for re-election this year. Laurie Levinson at Loyola Law School, former federal prosecutor, thanks to you. Najee Ali with the National Action Network, thanks to you as well.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
In a moment, Governor Brown and the weather, California Republicans and the race for the White House on Which Way LA.
This podcast is produced by KCRW, a nonprofit public radio station based in Los Angeles. We rely on listeners like you. Support the podcasts you love by becoming a member. Go to kcrw.com/join.
We're not only back with Which Way LA. Public opinion about elected officials goes up and down. In California, it might depend, at least in part, on the weather. Mark DiCamillo is director of the Field Poll with good news for Governor Brown in his latest survey. Hi, Mark. Good to have you with us.
Thanks, Warren. Nice to be on.
What's the good news?
Well, Jerry Brown continues to get very positive ratings from California voters. Nearly twice as many approve of the job he's doing overall as disapprove. It's currently 56% approving, 30% disapproving. One thing we noted in the survey was that the proportion of Californians who now believe the state is moving in the right direction increased from last year, from 40% to 50%. And I think that's what you're referring to with the weather.
40 to 50%, that's a big change.
Right. Well, back in May, we were in the midst of this drought, and the governor was proposing all of these cutbacks, and there were all these dire stories about the impact that the drought would have on the state's economy and, you know, what we might expect in the future if this became permanent. Well, now that we're in the middle of El Nino, and I think voters are a little more comfortable that maybe we're going to return to normal.
On the other hand, we're told we just might not.
We might not. These numbers could go down again, Warren.
Do people then sort of want to hear good news? Are they looking for good news? Do they want to feel strongly about the future?
I don't know if that's the case. I think a lot of their perceptions over the years about the direction of the state relate to the economy. We had been seeing those numbers go up between the period 2010 to 2014 and into early 2015, but then the drought hit, and that kind of dominated voter perspectives, and I think it was the reason why there was a decline in the views about the direction of the state last year.
Back to Governor Brown, and one of the things that people don't need or don't want, according to your poll, and this includes some Democrats as well as Republicans, is big government projects.
Right. They've always looked at the governor favorably in most areas, but one area where they've consistently rated him negatively is he seems to be promoting these very large, big government projects that most voters believe the state can't afford. And, you know, specifically we're talking about high-speed rail, but they also have some reservations about the water projects that he's been proposing. These are multi-billion dollar projects, and I think voters are a little leery of the enormity of the dollars involved.
He, of course, famously got an increase in taxes passed a couple of years ago. It's phasing out now, and there's pressure on him to try to do something about bringing it back. Do you think that if he comes out in favor of that, it will damage his public opinion ratings?
It's hard to say. We didn't do a direct measure of that, Warren. I could only speculate. I'm only as good as my numbers, as you know, and I don't have a number on that. I'm sorry.
Mark DiCamillo, director of the Field Poll. Also with us today, Dan Schnurr, director of the Jesse M. Unruh Institute of Politics at USC, also director of the USC Price LA Times Poll. Two pollsters today. Dan, good to have you with us.
Well, thanks for having me, Warren, but Mark is a professional pollster, and is the best in the states. So I'm happy to be part of the conversation.
You are director of people who do the polling, so that's a very
exactly.
Different. On the other hand, you do have opinions beyond the numbers that you are willing to express. What do you think about the impact of the weather?
I think Mark is right. If you look back over his numbers and our numbers in the USC Dornsife LA Times poll over several years, you go back to 2009 at the depths of the recession. and not much more than 10% of Californians thought that the state was heading in the right direction. And gradually, over the years, those numbers kept increasing, increasing, increasing as the economy improved. And last year, given the severity of the drought, and given the public attention and focus that Governor Brown put on it, those numbers dropped. Now, you're right, Warren, the drought isn't over. But number one, it's raining, and the governor's not warning people about it on a regular basis, so people are feeling better.
Do you think that with all we've said about the water, it's really the economy, stupid?
I think it is. And if you break down Mark's numbers, and ours as well, you see a very pronounced geographic divide in these numbers. Mark's results showed that coastal Californians are much, much more optimistic about the state's future, whereas those who live inland are much more negative about it. And it's not surprising, given how economically successful in relative terms the Bay Area, and to a slightly lesser extent Los Angeles, has been compared to the Central Valley in an inland empire. And if you look at the numbers compared to last year, coastal Californians really haven't changed their impression of the state's future that all that much. And I defer to Mark, but I think that's right. It's inland Californians who are still negative on the state's prospects going forward, but they're not as negative as they were. And I suspect that does have to do with the weather and the drought in regions of the state that are even that much more dramatically impacted by it compared to us here in L.A.
So, Mark DiCamillo, do your numbers verify that distinction between the coast and the inland parts of California?
Oh, Dan's a great analyst of our data. I'll give him that. He's correct, too. I'm looking back at last year's numbers where voters were giving a more mixed view of the state's direction. The inland areas back in May, you know, which include most of the Central Valley, by the way, this was when, again, the drought was heavily on people's minds, were giving the state's direction a greater than 2-to-1 negative rating, 58 to 25. That's improved in this poll, but it's still negative, 52 to 40, but not as bad as it was. So I think the rain is calming somewhat the people in the Central Valley, but certainly the economic disparity between the coast and inland counties still prevails.
Let's talk about partisan differences. Mark DiCamillo, are Republicans significantly less happy than Democrats?
They are. And I think a lot of that has to do with the lack of control of the reins of government. They look at California and they see that we have a single party state, pretty much. It's governed by Democratic governor, Democratic legislature. They don't feel their views on political issues anyways are getting counted that much, and I think that's contributing to their view of the direction of the state.
But there is some possibility that they may play a much greater national role this year than they have played in a very long time. Dan Schnur, back to you. There are so many well-funded candidates in the presidential race right now, and so many states that are decided not by a majority vote, but rather by dividing the votes up between candidates, that it is likely, it is thought, or possible at least, that by the time they get around to California on the 7th of June, I believe it is, there still might not be a nominee decided. Does California, or do California Republicans have the opportunity, do you think, to nominate the next Republican candidate?
Realm of possibility that not only Republicans but that Democratic voters in California could as well. You know, there are going to be 30 to 40 primaries that take place in between now and the first week of June, and trying to predict the outcomes of all of them is a little bit too ambitious even for me and for Mark. But what I would say is this, as you pointed out, Warren, because there are so many Republican candidates with a great deal of funding, both their own and outside super PAC funding, the likelihood of more than one of them continuing and surviving, not just through Iowa and New Hampshire, but through March and April, is much greater than it's been in many years. Now, I know this is an odd sort of phrase, but with only 12 Republican candidates in the race, only, down from the original 17, I'd say it's still not likely that we'll see a contested primary here. But again, the odds are much greater than in previous years. And then, real quick, if Bernie Sanders wins Iowa and New Hampshire, then maybe California Democrats might end up playing a role, too.
So, Mark DiCamillo, back to you. What do we know about California Republicans and who they prefer among the current candidates?
Well, our latest poll is interesting because it has both Donald Trump and Ted Cruz at the top, which kind of mirrors what's going on in Iowa right now. So California Republicans, a lot like Iowans. Marco Rubio's in third. So it's going to be interesting. I actually think that there's a greater likelihood that California's Republican primary could be could be very influential. And one of the reasons I say that is because the rules of how delegates are allocated in the Republican primary in California is through a winner-take-all a process by congressional district. Now, what that means is if you win the congressional district, you win all of that district's delegates. If you had a candidate with broad support across the state, that candidate could win virtually all or most of the delegates to the GOP for the GOP nomination, and that would be 14% of all that's needed to win the nomination. The Democratic primary, on the other hand, is a proportional allocation. So if you had a close outcome, not a lot of difference. California will have some bearing, but wouldn't be as profound as a broad-based Republican victory.
As other candidates drop out, do you think, Mark DiCamillo, that Trump will be able to get their voters?
Our polls suggest that he's in a weaker position than some of the other Republicans, at least in California. When we ask for second-choice preferences, Trump does poorer than Cruz and Rubio. When we ask people about the Republican voters about their image ratings, do they have a favorable or unfavorable opinion of the various GOP candidates? Voters here have divided views of Trump. About as many view him unfavorably as favorably. And again, that's among Republicans. That's not the case with some of the others. Many of them, Cruz, for example, 3-1 positive.
What about Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders?
Pretty close. I mean, it's 11-point lead for Clinton. What's really propping up Sanders in California is the fact that the Democratic primary in California allows no party preference voters to vote in the Democratic primary if they so desire. And Sanders actually does quite well among those voters. If it were just limited to Democrats, Clinton would be further ahead.
Dan Schnur, very quickly, we're almost out of time, but do you think a lot of California Democrats would vote in the Republican primary if they had the chance and it appeared that California was going to make the decision?
If the Democratic nomination had been decided and the Republicans were still fighting out, they might be tempted. But real quick, Warren, the other really interesting thing in Mark DiCamillo's field poll numbers on Bernie Sanders is it's conventional wisdom nationally that Sanders does really well with white voters but has more trouble with minorities. Mark's poll numbers suggest that, in fact, Sanders has the potential to draw a significant amount of Latino support, and that's something that bodes very well for him as he heads into the first round of primaries.
Okay. Once again, we're all reading tea leaves at this point, but the numbers just say what they say. We'll see what happens between now and June 7th. It's great to have you both on our program. Dan Schnur with the Jess Unruh Institute of Politics at USC. Mark DiCamillo, director of the field poll. Thanks to you both.
Thank you, Warren.
Thank you.